Every time I read the Bible, Jesus surprises me. Jesus is always just startling me with His teachings. They're provocative. They're disorienting. They're unexpected. It seems like Jesus is always poking at me a little bit. Always teasing me a little bit. Jesus is always trying to unsettle my settled opinions about things. And Jesus just messes with my mind most of the time. He does it sometimes with these parables, these little stories He tells. They are just little provocative puzzles most of the time. And they make you think and stir you up to try to figure out something. But He does it today with these Beatitudes that you just sang. They're found in the beginning of Jesus' teaching, as Matthew tells the story. He's on the Sermon on the Mount. He gathers the disciples. He sits the inner circle, I guess, on the front row, and then everybody else is there, and Jesus begins to teach. And He uses this word over and over, blessed. When we sing it, we say blessed, but blessed. Or it could be translated fortunate, or how happy are. And so Jesus begins, the first one out of His mouth. These people are sitting there, and they're waiting to hear this word. And He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That could also be translated, blessed are spiritual beggars. Spiritual beggars. I don't know about you, but that sounds backwards to me. I would have thought Jesus would have said, blessed are those who are spiritually rich. Yeah. Blessed are the spiritual giants. Blessed are the spiritual redwoods. Blessed are the prayer warriors. Blessed are those who are proficient in prayer. Blessed are those who know the Bible backwards and forwards. Blessed are those who know clearly, without a doubt, what God wants them to do. I would have thought Jesus would have said, blessed are all of you who have it all together spiritually. But Jesus says, blessed are the spiritual beggars. Blessed are you who do not have it all together spiritually. Blessed are those of you who know your spiritual life is deficient, lacking. Blessed are you who have trouble praying. Blessed are you who are spiritually incompetent, empty. Blessed are you who are spiritually clueless. Yours is the kingdom of God. That's not what I would expect Jesus to say. Blessed are the spiritual beggars. And if that's not strange enough, Jesus goes on and He says, blessed are those who mourn. Now, wait a minute. This is equally strange. To mourn means you have lost something. To mourn means you have an emptiness in your life. You've lost something you love. To mourn is to experience the absence of something, not the presence of something, but the absence of something. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you who are emptiness, empty. Didn't Jesus mean to say, blessed are the full, but blessed are you who have everything you want? Blessed are you who don't have any heartaches? Blessed are you who are pain-free? Blessed are you who can keep a stiff upper lip and just move on? But that's not what He says. He says, blessed are you who mourn. And He continues, blessed are the meek. Now, I'm wondering at this point if Matthew, who was taking notes on the Sermon on the Mount, thinking, you know, one day I'm going to put this into a book, and Matthew's writing these notes, and I'm just wondering if he got distracted at that point. And maybe he heard the wrong word. Or maybe when Matthew got home from hearing the Sermon on the Mount, he had his notes there, but he sloshed his coffee all over it, and they got kind of, the ink ran, it got blurred, and he's tried to figure out, blessed are the meek, and that's what it looked like. Or maybe he misheard. Surely what Jesus maybe said was, how about blessed are the sleek? Now that makes sense. Blessed are those who are slim and trim and buffed and fleet of foot. Blessed are those with low body mass index scores. Those are blessed are the sleek. Now that makes sense. Because surely what Jesus wanted to say is, blessed are the winners. Blessed are those who take care of themselves. Blessed are those who look out after themselves, who seize the day. Blessed are those who dominate. Blessed are those who are on top of the world. Because what do they say? If you are not the lead sled dog, the view never changes, you know. But blessed are the meek. And what about the next beatitude? Blessed are the merciful. Now, I want mercy shown to me. I want people to be merciful to me. But I want justice for everybody else. I mean, it's law and order I want. Surely Jesus means to say, blessed are those who hold everybody else to a high standard. Blessed are those who insist that people pay for what they have done. Blessed are those who see to it that everybody else gets what's coming to them. But how could you construct a world based on mercy? You would never get elected dog catcher running on a platform of mercy. No. Justice. Blessed are the pure in heart. It may be sweet to have a pure heart, but it sounds like you're going to be taken advantage of. Is that practical? Blessed are the pure in heart. Won't people just take advantage of you? Don't you think the ones in this world who ends up getting blessed, they're the ones who are shrewd and calculating and smart and they can see through things? These Beatitudes, they're just odd. They're backwards. They go against the values I was taught. They're strange. They don't make sense. The only way these things would make sense is if that verse in the Bible is true. That verse, Isaiah 55:8. That verse that says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, God is speaking. My ways are not your ways. These Beatitudes make sense. Only if what Jesus is offering me here is a totally new program for life. You know, we have different programs for life. A lot of us, our New Year's resolution was to get a new program on what we eat, you know. And so there are a lot of programs. You can go to the bookstore, go online, and I mean, there's hundreds of them. There's the Atkins program. There's the Weight Watchers program. There's the Jenny Craig program. There's the, you know, South Beach. All these programs. And if you need the book, I got every one of them, by the way. The program we're going to follow to be fit for life. But the program for life that I was taught and that I grew up with was that my well-being, my salvation, if you will, my blessedness, depends on me being in charge and me being in control and me being competent. And the program for happiness in life that I was taught has to do with me getting it right. With me being achiever, with me looking out for myself, it has to do with me pulling myself up by my own bootstraps. It has to do with me being good by my own sheer willpower. But if Jesus is right, and I think He is, then my program for happiness is flawed. Of course, to tell you the truth, all my do-it myself and do it my way, programs have generally failed me. Because I'm not always right, and I'm not always good, I'm not always competent. Jesus seems to be saying, talking about a strength, a blessedness that is mine, not because I'm successful or competent or have it all together, but it is mine even when I fail. Even when I do not have it all together. Not just when I am strong and on top of my game, but when I am weak. When I am a spiritual beggar. When I mourn because I'm empty. When I am meek. When I'm not first. When I am persecuted. When I'm hungry. When I'm thirsty. You know, Jesus begins His program and offers this program because He knows God is Abba. That's the word He'll use. Papa. Daddy. Jesus wants me to know a God who connects with me, apparently not in my perfection, but in my imperfection. Jesus knows this God who gets through to me, not in my strength, but in my weakness. Jesus knows this God who gives me blessedness, not because of my achievements, my accomplishments, but who rescues me from my inadequacies. Jesus' program for life is not about my strength. He's talking about God doing in me and for me what I cannot do for myself. Jesus seems to be offering me a life that is not in charge of everything, but a life that is surrendered to God. And if Jesus is right, and I'm trusting He is, it means that it's not so much about my accomplishment, but what God accomplishes in me and through me. It's what Paul writes, Ephesians 3:20. It's about the work of God within us that is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Jesus' program for life is not about making a life. It's about receiving a life. It's about a gift. It's not about me making myself good, but God working in me to make me better. It's no longer me becoming better so God will love me. It's God loving me so I can become better. It's about how God does not love us if we change. It's a God who loves us so that we can change. And when I get that part of the program right, I live with a different spirit, with a different energy, with God's strength, not mine. Jesus offers us a new program for spiritual joy. Somehow we have flipped the meaning of faith in modern times. And we have understood that if somebody has faith, that means they are filled with certainties. They know everything. They know all that the Bible means. They have faith. They just know what it means. But you know, in the Bible, faith is the opposite of that certainty. In the Bible, faith is admitting we do not know everything, but we do trust, we have a confidence in God who does know. And so faith is not about our wisdom, our strength, it's about our lack of it. It's our turning it over to Jesus, like the addict who begins their recovery when they have hit bottom. And are forced to admit their failure, their helplessness, their deception, their ignorance, and their neediness. And the program for Jesus begins with us surrendering our life to Him. In Matthew's Gospel, you're not going to read so often Jesus saying, "Believe in me." You know, have certain attitudes about me. Jesus is going to say, come and follow me. You know, that's different. I can believe in the Atkins plan, or I can believe in the Weight Watchers plan, or so I can believe in any of those that they would work. But Jesus says, come and follow me. Come and do it. That's what Jesus says. And so the rest of this book of Matthew is going to be looking at Jesus who lives this new program for life. And so in Jesus, we're going to keep reading. We're going to see what humility looks like. We're going to see what it means, what it looks like when somebody is pure in heart. And we're going to see what it looks like when someone is meek. And we're going to look like what it means when somebody is merciful. And we're going to see what it looks like when somebody takes their pain and their emptiness and how Jesus deals with it. And how Jesus deals with persecution and rejection. And what it looks like when Jesus lives with a hunger and a thirst for things being right. And for the world being fixed. And we're going to see what it looks like. And what we're going to see as we move through these next weeks, it leads through a cross and on through a resurrection. Well, what he told these disciples, come and follow me, do the program, he invites us to do too. Come and follow him. Come and join in this way of living that will receive the blessedness of God, the smile of God on our lives, and will be the best adventure we can ever have. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to join in some words that say what we believe. These are a newer form of a creed. It's printed in your order of worship. Would you stand and invite you to join me in saying what we believe? Let us say together, we believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Jesus offers us the gift of a program for life, but better than the program, he offers us his presence that enables us to do what God wants us to do. So go in his power, go in his strength, go in his love. The one who loves us and the one we love is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.